Our scripture today is taken from Revelation chapter 20. We come to that period that's called the millennial kingdom or the thousand-year reign of Christ upon the earth. The scripture is on the screen. Read with me, please. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. After these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You heard the story of Jose, I think, didn't you? Jose, born and raised in Puerto Rico, loved the game of baseball, and of course the greatest game in baseball is the All-Star game in the United States. Well, Jose came this year to the All-Star game, the story says. And someone met him on the corner and snookered him, and they sold him a ticket for about $400, but the ticket put him all the way out in deep center field. I mean, way up the top bleacher, way out there in the nosebleed section, way out there right under the flag. Well, Jose made his way out to the flag and joined the game, and he went back to Puerto Rico, and his friends were saying, "What was it like?" And they said, "Oh, those Americans." He said, "They're the most hospitable, wonderful people." He said, "I brought my ticket and found my way all the way out." But he said, "I was so far out there." He said, "I was just way, way, way away from the game, and I was concerned." But you know, before the game started, everybody in that stadium stood up and said, "Jose, can you see?" I want you this morning to see some things. They're awake now, Steve. I want you to see some things this morning that maybe you've never seen before. Our passage this morning is the first 10 verses of Revelation chapter 20. You've already met them. They'll be scrolling on the screen up here for a few moments, and you can review in your mind. The one thing that grabs you right away from these 10 verses is the repetition six times the phrase 1,000 years occurs, for 1,000 years. There are six things God wants us to know about a period of time in earth future. This is when Jesus Christ returns from heaven, engages the armies of the world at the Battle of Armageddon. You remember, we learned in chapter 19 that all the armies were destroyed. Remember that? And the beast, that's the world ruler who will rise in power over that seven-year period that is discussed in Revelation chapter 6 through 19. That man of sin will be taken and thrown live in the lake of fire. So will the false prophet. He's the turkey that comes along and directs the development of the ecumenical church, and brings all of the economic structures of the world under the domination of that ecumenical church. He's the one who comes up with the idea that if you're going to worship the Antichrist as God, you got to give public testimony. So either in your hand or your forehead, you got to have his name or his number. That's the brainchild of the false prophet. Well, those two guys are taken and thrown into the lake of fire. So we don't have to worry about them this morning. They're in the lake of fire. And in our timing, we have come to the end of that seven-year period on earth. It's called the 70th week of Daniel. That's where we are. Now, I need some help this morning. Dan, would you play Jesus for us again, please? Come up here with me. And I need somebody to play Satan. Todd, you did a good job in the earlier skit. Why don't you come on up and take a seat back here? And I need somebody who'll be, well, come on up and play the church. Would you please come on up? Play the church for us this morning. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Just find a seat and enjoy yourselves for a moment. Now, they'll help us in just a minute with some key things that I want you to get. But for your help this morning, I need your help. Will you help me? Yeah, okay. All of you stand, please. Just stand. Stand. Now, we're going to imagine that this is the beginning now of this seven-year period, okay? The beginning of the seven-year period. All of you represent the people left on earth when the bride, when the church, this is the church, when the church goes to heaven. So the church is in heaven. And of course, Jesus is in heaven already. Oh, and there's one other thing. The Old Testament saints who've died, they're in heaven too. They've already died. Their bodies are in the grave, but they're in heaven. And of course, we're going to deal with His Majesty King Satan here in just a moment. Okay, thanks. So these folks are in heaven. You're on earth. Satan is going to come down at the end of 3.5 years. Come on over with me, Satan. And he's going to mastermind this tremendous deceptive program through the beast and the Antichrist. He's going to have a lot of help. There'll be 10 kings. Remember last Sunday, 10 kings? Going to help him with this world empire. So keep him in mind. We haven't dealt with him yet. Now, what happens to the world during that seven-year period? Now, the only way I could think of doing this was to use your last names, okay? So this is impartial and nothing personal. If your last name begins with N through Z, sit down, please. N through Z. 50% of the world's remaining population is going to be killed as a result of the first four seals and as a result of the sixth trumpet. 50% are dead. Now, we need some people to represent the armies who come to the Battle of Armageddon, and we need some people to represent the folks who are killed through the earthquakes and the bitter water and all that. So if your last name begins with K, L, or M, you please be seated. Okay, now those folks have died. And when somebody says to you, hey, I'll take my chances. If the rapture thing is really true and I see that you're missing, then I'll get serious about this, see? Well, remind them that their chances of surviving the 7 years of tribulation physically are less than 1 out of 2. Because God's going to visit the world with judgments, and those judgments are going to carry great calamity. Now, I need some people to do something very special for me. If your name begins with A, B, C, or D, you please sit down. A, B, C, or D. Now, those folks represent for us the beheaded folks. They're the ones that get killed through the satanically inspired program of world dominion by which he establishes the beast as the Antichrist, and the Antichrist insists you worship him and receive his name or beheaded. Now, will one of you who just sat down please come to the platform quickly? We need somebody to represent that group. Thank you. Come on, Mike. Mike now represents for us all the people who got killed for their faith during the 7 years. You still with me? Now, if your last name begins with I or J, I'm going to ask you to do something very dangerous. Raise your hand, would you? Raise your hand. Look around. Now, look around. See, everybody's got their hand raised, I to J. See that? Now, these folks, I and J, represent for us the Jewish remnant. See, they're still standing because they're going to get some supernatural protection by God. Remember the woman in the wilderness? They're still standing. Remember the 144,000? That's who we're talking about. See, they're still standing because they're going to make it all the way through the tribulation, all the way over to the end time. Would one of you who just raised your hand please come? Don't all rush. Don't all rush. Thank you. Just one. Come on, quick. Somebody be brave. Good. Thanks. Here you go. We'll give you the sign and symbol, and you stay up here with me. You stay up here with me. You stay up here. You come up here with me. Thank you. Very good. Now, all of you whose names begin with I or J, please be seated. Just be seated for now. He represents you. Now, all the rest of you who are standing, you represent the Gentile nations who are living at the end of the seven-year period. Remember, Jesus introduced us to this group. You weren't in the army, so you didn't get killed at Armageddon. Jesus introduced us to you in Matthew chapter 25 when he said, when Jesus Christ returns in his glory, Dan, come here. First thing he's going to do, he's going to send his angels out, and they're going to collect all of these I and J people, all of these remaining Jewish remnant. He's going to collect them, okay? And then he's going to take all the rest of you who are Gentiles, and he's going to divide you according to what? Sheep and goats. Sheep and goats. If you're 30 years of age or older, you be a goat and sit down. Narrow the field, didn't we? Narrow the field. If you're 30 years and older, please sit down. You represent the goats. Would you come up to the platform, please? Yeah, come on up. Send her up, Karen. Thank you. This is Karen's daughter. She's going to represent all the sheep, all the folks that are still standing. Thank you. Now, the rest of you may be seated. Now, you get the picture? At the end of the 1,000 years, most of the people who didn't go in the rapture are going to die through the plagues and the judgments. Some are going to die because they're beheaded. And who represents them? No. Yeah, there's Mike. Yeah, not the Jewish element now, but Mike represents the people that are dead. That's why he's back there, see. He's back there because he's dead. Deal with him in a minute. God is going to save a group of Jewish people through the 7 years. And when we come to the end of the 7 years and Jesus Christ returns to earth, he's going to gather all the Gentiles together. He's going to gather all the Gentiles together. And the sheep Gentiles are going to be saved. Got it? The goat Gentiles are going to be killed. How do you know if you're a sheep or a goat? How you treated these, my brethren. That's why I told you last week when you leave, if you miss the message, find a Jewish person, follow him to Jerusalem, listen to the two prophets who preach there, and do whatever they prescribe. Because the Sunday after the rapture, I won't be here, and whoever fills this pulpit will probably preach heresy. Don't forget that. Okay, now how does all this pan out? Well, the Gentiles have not experienced death yet. So they're going to marry and bear children, just like you and I would. The Jewish remnant have not experienced death yet. They're going to marry and bear children, and from them, the whole earth will be populated. There will be children born during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Keep that in mind. You got that? Keep that in mind. Sit right over in the corner. Don't leave. Sit right there. Now, in the passage before us, there are 6 references to the 1,000-year reign of Christ. All of them have to do with the Lord Jesus when he returns. First thing he's going to do, he's going to kill the armies that oppose him, the 10 kings and their armies. He's going to deliver the Jewish remnant, still in their bodies, still like us today. They're going to marry and bury. I mean, they're going to marry and bear children. They're going to marry and bear children during the 1,000-year period. He judges the Gentiles. He slays the goats. He keeps the sheep. They are Gentiles. They are going to live with him during the kingdom, and they're going to marry and populate and produce children. Now, the first thing we learn from Revelation chapter 20 has to do with Satan. Jesus does not apparently interact directly with Satan at this point, but an angel comes from heaven with a great chain. And we read the first two verses that Satan is bound with the great chain, and then he is sealed into the abyss, into the bottomless pit, shut up so he cannot deceive the nations for 1,000 years. Now, after that, he has to be unleashed for a little season. Would you play dead and go down there and stand right in front of us? Thank you, Todd. Now, he's in the abyss. He can't do anything on earth for the 1,000 years. What was the one thing that he mastered? What's the one word in those verses we want to remember? Deceive. And when you go over to verse 7, after the 1,000 years, as soon as he's released, the first thing he's going to do is to go up to deceive the nations. So we're told at the outset of this 1,000 years that Satan the deceiver will be dealt with. He'll be removed so he cannot deceive these good, dear Jewish believers. He cannot deceive these good, dear Gentile believers who are living on the earth during this 1,000 years. God wants you to know that that's very significant. And God wants you to know, in the place of this supernatural deceiver who has plagued the earth through his demonic control and devices for all centuries, all the way back, we met him in the Garden of Eden. He was the one who, through the serpent, seduced Eve. And Eve then gave to Adam, and sin entered the human race. But he can't do anything on the earth for this 1,000 years. God also wants you to know that the Lord himself shall rule the nations with a rod of iron. Jesus will himself be present on the earth. The word to rule is to shepherd. So instead of having this deceiver during that 1,000 years, men and women will have this Savior enthroned on the earth. Won't that be wonderful? He'll sit upon the throne of his father David, and he will be the Prince of Peace, and peace will reign for 1,000 years. No war. Bible has a lot of things to tell us about that 1,000-year period. The second thing John wants us to know is that while Jesus Christ is ruling them, shepherding them with a rod of iron, there's also three other groups of people who will be involved somehow during this 1,000 years. The first is those who sit upon the thrones to whom authority is given. You read about that, I think it's verse 4. John says, I saw thrones, and I saw people sitting there, and he doesn't identify who they are. I think Dr. McLean is right when he says he doesn't have to identify them because we've already met them. We met them back in chapter 4. They were seated on 24 thrones in heaven, and we've met them on and off through the whole book of the Revelation. And Dr. McLean, I think, is correct when he says that they represent the church. The church. Would you hand me those white things, please? Now, we need to make a distinction here between the Gentiles and the Jews. See, they're like us. They're still in their bodies. But the church has been raptured, and the church has been glorified, and the church is in the resurrection bodies, and in the resurrection bodies we do not marry nor bear children. So the church returns with the Lord Jesus Christ to rule and reign with him, just like we're told. But the church does not produce children. We also learn that those who are beheaded for Christ during the 1,000 years, they are raised from the dead, and we're told specifically that they rule with Christ for 1,000 years. Mike, would you put that on and go right over here and stand beside Dan? And we're also told in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3 that the Old Testament saints, Daniel, David, Jeremiah, those guys and gals, Ruth and Esther, they're going to come out of the graves as a part of the first resurrection after the Great Tribulation period. So we have the Old Testament saints who are also here. That's good. Just step just a bit behind. That's great. Now what we have is a kingdom on earth that is headed up by the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, ruling and reigning with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says we're going to judge angels, is his bride, the church. They are inseparable. We met her in chapter 19, just before Jesus returned from heaven. She was identified, and we were told that she was robed in robes that describe and define the righteous acts that she did. But she's in her resurrected body. She's not going to marry and bury and all of that. She's going to rule and reign with him. We are told very specifically that those who died for the Lord Jesus Christ during the millennium, they're going to reign with him for 1,000 years. And we're told also, blessed and holy are all those who have part in the first resurrection. Over them the second death has no power, but they will reign as priests. It's right there in your text, verse 6. As priests they will reign with Christ. That's the Old Testament saints. Interesting, isn't it? You have kind of the three points of government we're familiar with, only they're reconfigurated. Now, during this 1,000 years on earth, our Jewish remnant friends are going to marry, establish homes, and if you think rabbits can procreate, you ain't seen nothing yet. Death will be controlled. Disease will be abolished. Disasters will not occur. The desert will bloom like the rose. There'll be no war. There will be peace. There will be instant, immediate, and perfect justice. And those who are the descendants of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob are going to possess the land that God promised them, and they are going to have a center stage responsibility in the global administration of righteousness. And the Gentiles, they too are going to marry, and they are going to procreate children. Only saved people begin the millennial kingdom. Only saved people make it. All the goats are destroyed. But they too, as Gentile nations, will reproduce, and there will be a host of children that will be born. Now you would think that with God himself present on earth, see, you don't have to worry then about apologetics. Truth will not be determined or digested or discussed on the basis of discovery of ancient deeds through documents or even subjective, personal kind of experience and feelings. Truth himself will be here, and with him, ruling will be the bride of Christ. Now, don't worry. You won't be locked into heaven. Locked into earth. The bride of Christ, our home is heaven. And just as Jesus, during his 40 years between his resurrection and his ascension, appeared and disappeared, remember that? Perhaps that will be our experience on earth. But backing up and reinforcing this will be these seasoned people who just remember, have very fresh personal memories of what it was like to be executed for their faith during the reign of the deceiver. And you'll have the Old Testament saints who will be resurrected and acting in a priestly function. But these two, the Gentiles, excuse me, Jesus, and the Jews, these two are going to populate children, bear lots of children. Okay? Got the picture? And for 1,000 years on the earth, there will be peace, perfect government, productivity. There will be joy. There will be equality. There will be knowledge. And you think we're smart today? You just wait. You haven't seen anything yet. For during that 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, the curse will be lifted from the earth, and men will function enabled, inspired by supernatural help from these friends and by supernatural direction from the king himself. Okay? The last two times that the 1,000 years are mentioned describe what happens at the close of this period. We read that the rest of the dead did not live until the 1,000 years were over. So there's going to be a second resurrection, and that second resurrection will take place after this 1,000 years, and we'll study that next week. That's the Great White Throne. That's after this 1,000 years. Now, the other thing we learn in verse 7 is that Satan, come on up, after the 1,000 years, he's released, and he comes up on the earth. Now, I ask you, can he deceive these folks? No, he can't get at them. They've been glorified, redeemed, their bodies have been changed. They've experienced death. He can't get at them. Can he deceive the Lord Jesus Christ? Nah, not a chance. You might wonder why Jesus allows him to do this. Can he deceive any member of the body of Christ? Nah, can't get them either. Can he get back here and deceive any of these Old Testament saints that have been glorified? Nah, impossible. Can he deceive the Jews who came through the 1,000 years and were born again? I would say no, because I believe that they experienced the new birth. And they live for this 1,000 years as born-again believers with a regenerated heart and soul. So I would say no. Can he deceive the Gentiles who came through the 7 years and have been living on the earth? Can he deceive them? Again, I would say no. The sheep, I think they're saved. But how about their kids? He will have opportunity to say to the hosts of the earth living at the end of that 1,000 years, he will have opportunity to say to them the same thing he said to our parents in the garden. Yea, hath God said, aren't you tired of living under the restrictiveness of righteousness? Don't you long for freedom when you can throw off the restraints and be yourself? Don't you have doubts and urgings and inner desires that you just like to express? But you know if you do, King Jesus is going to zap you. And they will say, yeah, we do. He will say, I'm your man. Follow me. We'll go up and we'll destroy this whole kingdom. And I will lead you in establishing a kingdom where you can be free to be yourself. And what will happen? All the children, Jewish descendant, Gentile descendant, born during that 1,000 years, will face a moment of decision. Some will previously have come to faith in Jesus Christ, I hope. And they will be like their parents, born again, indwelt by the Spirit of God, new nature. And they will listen to the lie, recognize the deceiver, and reject him. But a host, your text says, as many as the sands upon the seashore are going to follow him in rebellion. So he leads his army up, and what happens? Fire comes down from God, destroys all of the rebels who are following him, and then what happens to him? He is cast into the lake of fire, where his pigeon, the beast, the man of sin, and the Antichrist already have spent 1,000 years in torment. So Satan is gone. Now, what can we learn from this morning that will be applicable to us? Two things. Number one, God is fully aware of Satan, deception, evil, pain, sin, suffering. God knows how to bring peace to our world. God knows how to bring justice to our systems of government, education, social services. God knows all about that. But God knows that the problem is deeper than the institutions around us. And God knows that the problem is deeper than the spiritual forces of darkness who manipulate the world system and who inspire and energize our sinful behavior. God knows that. And God's going to show us that what he knows is true. So God's going to bring to the earth for 1,000 years a literal kingdom on earth. Now listen, friends, that's not heaven. That's not heaven. Heaven is where Jesus is now. And that's not the new heavens and the new earth. That's still ahead of us. That's another sphere. But the kingdom of God is coming to this old planet when Jesus returns. And on this old planet, God is going to have a final word about mankind and with mankind. He's going to put in a perfect government, perfect institutions, perfect truth. He's going to reinforce that with a rod of iron. He is going to surround those people with every possible advantage for righteousness and truth and grace and love and mercy. And even in spite of that, children born into that culture, born into those conditions, are going to resent the truth, resist righteousness, and look for some way to rebel. See, Jesus once told us that the problem with man is not what's external. It's not what you take into your mouth or your eye gate that makes you do evil things. Evil things issue forth out of the heart. Our problem isn't that we are sincere people trying to do good but failing. Our problem is we're sincerely bad people who instinctively do what's wrong. And you can't help yourself. You are what you are. And you were born a sinner. So was I. And during this 1,000-year kingdom on earth, with all the wonderful things that are said about and written about and all that will be true, there will still be a problem. And the problem will be sin. And sin does not come from Satan. Sin does not come from demons. Sin does not come from society. Sin comes from within the heart. God wants you to know that. God wants you to know that he's going to demonstrate that during this 1,000-year period in earth future. Number two, and in conclusion, God wants you to know he has the solution to that heart problem. God wants you to know that he's in the business of changing human hearts. And though you can't change yourself and nothing in society can change you, God can. And that's what we were singing about earlier, about the grace and faithfulness of God in forgiving sinners like me. Man of sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah! What a Savior. And this morning, we are assembled in the name of Jesus because most of us have discovered in him and through him the grace that forgives us of all of our sins. And I guarantee you, my friend, upon the authority of God's promise, that if you will acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, confess to him your sin. Now, that won't shock him. He knows it already. But if you'll confess to him your sins and acknowledge to him that you are a sinner and receive him personally into your life as Lord and Savior, he will not only forgive you of your sin, but he will empower you to have victory over the habits of sin, and he will change your heart and make it new. And he will take you out of this world to his presence before he sends in the clouds of judgment and wrath. Do you know him this morning? You have questions about knowing him. Do you want to know him? You can make your commitment to Jesus Christ, because apart from him, a perfect government, a peaceful world, an absolutely perfect society cannot change your basic problem. You need a new heart. And only Jesus can do that. But he can do that faster than you can blink an eye. And he wants to do that because he loves you. Father in heaven, I pray that this morning we'll take something with us that will cause us to visit these passages often and to reflect upon the tremendous truths contained here. Thank you for my brothers and sisters who helped me this morning. And I pray that you will help us to understand what you've said in these passages so that we will be people of hope and confidence, so that our understanding of who we are and what you are will be deepened, so that we will have peace and joy anticipating the future, knowing that you are in control, knowing that when the final chapter has been lived, things will be just like they have been written. So deepen our confidence in this wonderful book you've given us. The Spirit of God, continue to teach us and refresh us. Now, Lord Jesus, if you should choose to come and call the church, the bride, home before noon today, I pray that every person listening to my voice will have made peace with you and will have received you into their life to be your Lord, to be their Lord and Savior. And should some leave here this morning, may they leave deeply concerned, deeply burdened about the problem of sin and what they must do about it. And may the rest of us rejoice and look forward to that day when Jesus shall reign where the sun doth in its successive journeys run. That the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign. And righteousness will cover the world as the waters cover the sea. To that end, Lord, we lift to you from our hearts this prayer you taught us to pray. Join me, please. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen.